Hallelujah. This is, excites me, this scripture, so much. Because that word adoption has been just stuck in my head, probably for the last month or so. But I've been reading Ephesians. I memorized Ephesians chapter 1 about 4 or 5 years ago, and I still can't grasp the depth of it. Have you ever realized that? You read something over and over and over again, but it still doesn't become a revelation. And then all of a sudden it's like, wow! Wow, I kind of starting to understand it now. That's what's been happening to me over the last couple of weeks, where I'm getting a real deep revelation of God's love for me, and it's really exciting. Sorry, I'm getting a bit excited now. But firstly, I just want to talk about our perception of love in the world. We live in a, you all know that we live in a broken world, don't we? We do. And families are torn apart. And as you grow up, we know there's so many children now that are grown up as orphans through whether it be families splitting up or whether it be families passing away or so many different reasons. Orphans are lovely and God loves orphans. Has anybody heard the group Watoto? Did they come here? I went to see them, and actually we hosted them, and it was wonderful to see them come in. And the amazing thing is that they would come into the hall, and we'd prepare, gave them a custard cream and a glass of orange squash. And now if we gave our children a custard cream and a glass of orange squash, they would just get it, eat it, and drink it, and run around and scream, wouldn't they? They all stopped. They closed their eyes. I've got the video if you want to see it. And they started to worship God and sing in their own language. In Ugandan, I don't know what the different dialects, isn't there? But it just blew me away. Why is that? Because they realize what they have been saved from. And they have got that deep revelation of Father's love for them. So they sing songs like, I am not forgotten. I am not forgotten. He knows my name. Do you know that one? It's a beautiful song, isn't it? And they, when they sing it, they mean it. Because they know. And if you see them, if they're on stage, they are literally worship. My daughter got to get up on stage with them at St. John's and dance with them. It was wonderful, yeah. So they, yeah. Well, I don't know where I'm going with this, sorry. Yeah. Orphans. They come into that revelation of God's love for them. I hope that be the case, but not everyone does. But maybe that you've been brought up, and I don't know any of your past history, so I'm not having a go at any of you. I'm not trying to put a finger on anything, but some people have grown up with just a mother, grown up with a single mother, and haven't had that love of a father to hold them and pick them up, a father to hold their hand, or a father that would tell them and lead and guide them and even correct them when they're wrong. I know that people who don't have fathers, we have this single mum who is a part of our fellowship, and she has this young girl, and the little girl doesn't see her father. But we also have a guy who's part of our ministry, and they met each other, and they got married. Now she calls him daddy. I think that's exciting, because she's got a dad all of a sudden that dotes on her and loves her. And that relationship's beautiful, isn't it? God's just provided a spiritual father for her. And that's just so lovely. But maybe that's you, that you haven't had a father's love all your life. And you've always longed to be held by an earthly father. My sister, my parents split when I was 11, and she's always had a father, but she's never known a father's love like we like to think. And that comes to the third thing, maybe that you have grown up with your parents, but perhaps they weren't so loving. Perhaps they used to speak horrible negative words over you. Is that you? Or perhaps they never showed you love. Perhaps they never held you in their arms. Or maybe that you've had parents who loved you. I did. My parents really loved me. But then what happened when I was 21? They split up. And then all of a sudden my life started to go wrong, where I met a partner and then she left me. And all of a sudden I'm feeling all rejected and hurt and lonely. Is that you? I think we all, somewhere down the line, we all suffer from rejection in some way, or a desperate need for love. And in the world in which we live, has given us a wrong perception of what love truly is. Do you believe that? So all we can know about our world in which we live in is hurt and pain and rejection and sorrow and grief. So really that gives us a faulty view of God, doesn't it? Some people find it very hard to come to God because they think God's going to be like that. God is going to be like your father. In a time maybe your father was reading the newspaper and you were saying, Dad, I've got something to tell you. And he's just reading it. Oh, will you just go away? Is God like that? God's not there reading a newspaper, too busy to listen to you. His thoughts to you are as many as the sand. Isn't that lovely? I would imagine just even if you had one thought from God, that would blow your mind. And you would come into a revelation of God's love for you because he loves you so much. But our faulty view of God that prevents us from coming to him, it's a lot easier if somebody has been loved to accept God's love for them than somebody who's been hurt all their life, rejected all their life, and they're saying, no, God can't be loving. God's like my earthly father. God's like my earthly partner. So what happens then? So we look to the world, don't we, for love, recognition, and acceptance. That's what we do. As you know, you could probably tell, I've been rejected in my life by my first partner left me, and I was devastated. I really was. I thought my whole... Because that's what I was doing. I was looking for my identity in her. And then ever since, even when I got saved, believe it or not, I was still suffering from a deep rejection. So I would go out, I'd sit in a coffee shop, and then I'd be looking to see if a girl smiles at me to see if, oh, they get my identity. Look, somebody likes me. Have you ever felt like that? Or sometimes, because my family had split, I would look and sit there and see a family sitting there in Costa, and I'd be like, isn't that so lovely? Look at them. Why couldn't my life be like that? Can you see what happens? Because my identity is in a partner, or my identity is in a family. And we can get our identity from many things. We can look for our recognition, acceptance, and love in other things like relationships, like careers. You find that so many people who are pumped by power and greed and they're channeled by that usually there's some deep root of rejection in their life where they're getting their acceptance from earning money. Look at me, I'm being recognized by the world, and that's the society which we live in. There's so many things, isn't there? Anything to feel loved. That's what we do, isn't it? Anything to feel loved. I'm going to really be honest with you today. Is that all right? Even when I first started preaching, I remember getting up there and thinking, oh, that was rubbish. I was just looking, waiting for one person to say, oh, you were really good. And then I'll be like, oh, because I got my identity from my preaching. That's wrong, isn't it? I mean, it doesn't matter how I come across, because Paul said, I did not come with eloquence of speech. I did not come with words of wisdom, but the power of the Holy Spirit. And I realized that's what was happening in my life. I was trying to preach for acceptance, but actually, no, it's God who preaches behind me. I could come up to you and literally, like, I think it was Jonathan Edwards, wasn't it? Sinners in the hands of an angry God. He just read from the script and the power of God came down. So I'm still working on that one, by the way. I'm not expecting you to come up and ask, come up and say that was really good today. So I'm not expecting that, and please don't. But that's what we do. We look for acceptance and recognition, and we look for love in this world. But we're not going to get our identity from that, are we? Because all them things fail, and that leads to depression. And that's what we reach out to the doctors. When we're feeling low, when we don't feel loved, when we don't feel recognized, when we don't feel accepted, we go to the doctor and say, I need help. Oh, give me some antidepressants just to take the pain away. But that's not the Christian life, is it? It's truth that sets you free. It's what God says about you. When you come into a realization of that, that's going to just blow your mind and set you free. Hallelujah to that. So I'm talking about adoption today. So what's the process of adoption? I don't know. I mean, I read on a few websites, if I wanted to go and adopt someone, I would have to put my name down. I'd have to go through all these tests and background checks and DBS and all this and the other. And if I passed that, then I would then be able to choose a child. And then I would be able to meet with that child on a regular basis. And if it fit, then I would then welcome them into my family. They would become a part of my family and they would have my inheritance. You can see where I'm going with this, can't you? This is what God is like. It's even more mind-boggling than this, but I'm going to use it. But that's what God does. So we're going to come to the word now. The first, it says that in Ephesians 1, it says you have been blessed with every spiritual blessing in Christ Jesus in the heavenly realms. Firstly, I know God provides our practical needs, but it's the heavenly realms. Some preachers say you can have your best life now and all the money you want and have belly-deep alfalfa grass and you can be rolling in it for the rest of your life. Is that God? Not always. I'm sure it can be. But no, every spiritual blessing, that's where the blessings are spiritually. When you come into your awareness of who you are in Christ, it will set you free. Do you know I'm set free from myself? And that's a good thing, isn't it? And do you know I'm even set free from you? I know that sounds a bit mean, but it doesn't matter what you think about me. Because we're going to see what God says about me in his word. That's all that matters to me. You've been blessed with every spiritual blessing in Christ Jesus in the heavenly realms. And he has chosen you before the foundation of the world to be holy without blame before him in love. Isn't that wonderful? You've been chosen before the foundation of the world. Now, an adoption process, as I said before, if I wanted a child, as I'm filling them forms out, there's a child waiting, and I've got that child on my mind as I'm filling them forms out. And there's a lot of hard work. I'm choosing to have a child. And that child doesn't even know about it. And there was a time in your life where you didn't know God was after you. He'd already chosen you before the foundation of the world. That means before God's spirit hovered over the waters, God had you in mind. Before he said, let there be light, he had Hazel, he had you in mind. She's mine. Before the foundation of the world, before I went to Abraham and said, look, Abraham, come outside. Look at the amount of stars there are. So will your descendants be. He had Hazel in his mind. It's wonderful, isn't it? I'm really trying to drum that in you today, Hazel. Thank you. And on it goes. Before anything in the Bible, God had you in his mind. He chose you before the foundation of the world. Now, what did he choose you for? Well, it says to be holy without blame. He chose what? What? Hallelujah. He chose you to be holy without blame before him in love. What does that mean? That means he already had you in mind. He knew that there's nothing you could do to please God. You've all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. There's nothing that we can do to come to him. We are sinners. But that's not our identity today. He chose you to be holy without blame before him in love. Listen to this verse. It's probably one of the most powerful verses in the Bible. He, Jesus, who knew no sin, became sin for us. That what? That we might be the righteousness of God in him. Do you know, Hazel, when God looks at you, he doesn't see you, he sees who? He sees Jesus. And you're blameless. So how does that affect you then? I know, I'll give you a different scenario of two times where I was out just asking God to work through me. One day I was very sin conscious. I was very selfish because I was self-conscious as well. And did anyone come across my path? Did I have any divine appointments? No, because I was self-conscious and sin conscious. I was heaping condemnation upon myself. But the moment when I came out and I was son conscious, Christ conscious, that he had already taken my sin, what a difference that made. I walked to work and I saw this Muslim woman. I said, do you know Jesus loves you? And she smiled as she walked back. I went into the music shop and repaired my car. And I said, do you know this guitar is so I can worship the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you know him? Oh, I don't know him, but I know of him. And then moment after moment, God gave me so many divine appointments in where I could serve him. Because why? I wasn't sin conscious. I was son conscious. And it's amazing how the Spirit will work through that. I'll just say that for your benefit. That may help you. You mentioned it this morning. There's no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus. It's wonderful. So don't be sin conscious. Be son conscious. You are holy without blame before him in love. I think that's wonderful. Holy, holy, without blame before him in love. That's beautiful, isn't it? Now, one of the things of adoption is when you adopt a child, do you bring that child into your home and say, oh, I'm sorry, there's too much baggage here. We're going to hold that against you for the rest of your life. Is that what you're going to say? No. You're going to say, it doesn't matter what you've done in the past. Doesn't matter what baggage you've got. I know about all this because it was through the adoption process. I love you no matter what. And it doesn't matter about your past. Isn't that wonderful that God does for that for us? He chose you before the foundation of the world that you'd be holy without blame before him in love. Now, what's his second verse? He predestined us for adoption to sonship, in other words, to become children of God, through Jesus Christ, according to his good pleasure and his will. That's phenomenal, isn't it? He predestined us for adoption. Now, when you do that adoption process, can you imagine the moment where you get told that actually the child is yours? Can you imagine the excitement for somebody, perhaps they haven't had a child before, or perhaps they are a little bit older and they look forward to having children again and they want to serve God? Can you imagine the joy when they say you can have this child? You'd be ecstatic, wouldn't you? You would be. Is that what God's like with us when we say yes to Jesus? Can you imagine? You know the story of the prodigal son? I would like to rename that. That's why I don't really like titles, because it gets you to focus on the son. Why don't we call it the loving father? Because you know what the child did? He squandered all the inheritance. He went away from his community and his family. And then he ended up eating pig pots. He said, I've had enough. I'm going back to my father. I'm going back. And I'm going to repent. And just as he made that decision, the father's in the distance. Son! Can you imagine that? Just, yes! And wraps his arms around him. And then, wow, that's our father, isn't it? Not only that, is he there, arms open wide, when you say yes to Jesus. The angels are rejoicing in heaven. You love that one. It's great, isn't it? Adoption. It's wonderful, isn't it? But the adoption process, it's just so beautiful. Let's read this verse from Romans 8. For those who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. The Spirit you received does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship. And by him we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs. Heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, this indeed we share in the sufferings order that we may share in his glory. Now, it's interesting that Roman adoption wasn't as you think. Usually adoption would mean you adopt a child, and then when you die, the parents die, then the inheritance would go over to the children. But at the time they were writing this, it wasn't the case. The moment you adopted in Roman society was, or in that era, is that as soon as you were adopted, you became a co-heir with the one who was adopting you. That means that all your father's was yours already. And that's what God does to us. That's what it means to be blessed with every spiritual blessing. We're not, in a sense, there waiting in the departure lounge, waiting for the rapture. Oh, come on, Lord, quick. It's just too horrible in this place. No, God calls us to be a son. And those who are led by the Spirit are called children of God. And we've not received a spirit that makes us a slave again to fear. We don't have to fear about all those things. He's given us a spirit of adoption in which we cry out what? Abba! Which is what? Daddy! Daddy, you're a son and you've been received all your inheritance right now. I have come that you may have life. We have life. We are children of the living God. And I think when that revelation comes into you, it will change the way, which we're going to look at in a minute, change the way you behave, and it changes the way you live. So how does this revelation of God's love for us change the way we behave? Now, if you'll get yourself all beaten up, if you think that you're worthless, you're going to act worthless, aren't you? You're going to speak worthless things. If you're going to feel unloved, it's going to affect the way you are with other people, isn't it? Because if you're going to feel rejected all the time, your eyes are on yourself. Jesus said, deny yourself. You know, reckon yourselves dead. Do you know we're dead to sin? We're dead to ourselves and we're alive to Christ. We don't have to focus on ourselves anymore. We don't have to focus on what life and the world tells us about ourselves. God says that you're a son and a daughter of him and he's adopted you in his family. Do you believe that? Because that will then, you can wake up in the morning, you can go in the mirror and say this. Hazel, you could say, sorry, I'm picking on you. Hazel, you're fearfully and wonderfully made. Have you ever done that? Look in the mirror in the morning and say you're fearfully and wonderfully made to yourself. And say this, God, you love me so much. And nothing can separate me from your love. You try and open Jesus' hand. He's got you in his hand, in the palm of his hand. You try and prise open his grip. Nothing is going to be able to stop that love. Paul lists all the things, angels or demons or nothing can separate you from the love of God. Now, if you feel that, that changes the way you behave, because if you feel loved, you're love personified, aren't you? That's why God created us, so that we are loved, that we shine like stars in this crooked and evil generation, that we go out, that we're a light on a lampstand that gives light to everyone in the house. Now, that's only possible if we come into that realization of who we are in Christ, that we have a Father in heaven who loves us. And when we know that we're already, listen to this second verse, it says, by which we are accepted in the beloved. It doesn't say that in the NIV, which you've got, but in the New King James, it says, we are accepted in the beloved. Now, how does that acceptance, knowing that God has accepted you, how does that affect how you live? Let me give you an example, because Jesus is a good example for this. You know, when Jesus was just about to go into the wilderness to be led by the Spirit, to be tempted by the devil, what did he do before then? Does anyone remember? He was baptized, wasn't he, by John the Baptist. And then what happened? The Spirit came down in the form of a dove, and his Father said this, "This is my beloved Son, whom I'm well pleased." Can you imagine that voice coming down from heaven? Can you imagine if you woke up and God just said, Hazel, I'm well pleased with you, audibly? Now, how long would that, if you heard that, that would set you up for the day and a half, wouldn't it? Now, can you imagine now Jesus then, he went to his hometown, they tried to throw him off a cliff, but he was like, it doesn't matter, my Father has accepted me, doesn't matter if you reject me or not. When he was arrested, when he was hit round the face, says in the side, he plucked out his beard, it doesn't matter because my Father has accepted me. And we know a second time when the Mount Transfiguration, he went up there, and again, just before he was about to go and be crucified, his Father says, this is my beloved Son, whom I'm well pleased. Hear him. Can you imagine that? Second proclamation. So as Jesus comes down to the cross, it's horrendous, isn't it? He was lashed. I mean, they're pulling out cat of nine tails, ripping his skin open, up on the cross, nailed through his wrists and through his feet. And can you imagine there as he's struggling to breathe and they're mocking him, he's just saying, my Father has accepted me. It doesn't matter what you do to me. Nothing can stop my Father's love for me. I know where I'm going. Can you see that proclamation of that acceptance that his Father gave him enabled him to say, it doesn't matter what the world does to me. Now, we can learn from that, can't we? Because if we believe truly that God has accepted us, it doesn't matter if someone says to you, oh, shut up. Keep going on about Jesus all the time. It doesn't matter. He loves me and he loves you too. Bless you. Can you do that? Sorry, I said shut up in a service. That's pretty irreverent, isn't it? But it's true. That's what people do. They mock, they ridicule you, say all kinds of evil things to you. It doesn't matter because you're loved by God and you're already accepted by him. That's a wonderful revelation, isn't it? And if there's nothing else, I want you to go away knowing of your Father's love for you, that he has made you accepted in the Beloved. Now, I'm going to perhaps close with this. My daughter, do you think there's anything that could stop me from loving my daughter? Her name's Scout. Do you think anything could stop that? Do you know, sometimes when she can be a little rascal sometimes, you know, but she's such a lovely, lovely girl. She can do something wrong, and then she just comes up and says, sorry, Daddy, and I'm just straight away off. Bless you, you're so sweet. And you can't stay angry with her for long. And it doesn't matter what she does, nothing can separate me from loving her. You know, even when she's got something to do at school, for instance, if I send her into school and I think, oh, I forgot a PE kit, what do? I go home and get it, and I go and give it to the teachers, and that's sorted out. She doesn't have to worry about that because I love her, and I've already sorted that out for her. No matter what it is, if there's money to be paid, if there's equipment to be had, whatever it is, my love is just all over her because I've got her back, and I care about her, and my eyes are always on her, and I love her so much. Do you think that's what Father's love is like for us? He's got your back. He's always looking to bless you, to help you, to guide you. That's beautiful, isn't it? Isn't that beautiful? You've been chosen before the foundation of the world to be holy without blame before him in love. You've been predestined to adoption as a son by Jesus Christ to himself, to the praise of his glory, by which he's made you accepted in the Beloved. You've been chosen. You've been adopted and you've been accepted by God. Isn't that wonderful? Let's pray together.